Let's talk about extra faith, increased faith. Let's talk about the effects of that. And then we can talk about extreme faith, right? What kinds of amazing things can happen with that? Is that all right?
All right.
Okay. So let's talk about extra faith first. Extra faith. And all I mean by that is increase. And I would ask you this. Can anyone here use more faith?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. We all could use more faith. We could all use a faith increase. And if you're here, it's very, very likely that you have some faith. Right? Even if you're on the starter faith kit, you have some faith. But it's okay to be greedy when it comes to faith. The more we have, the more we glorify our God, the more we can accomplish in His name. And so it's all right to want more and more faith. We all agree that we could use more. But then we have to ask ourselves, well, why? Why do we want more faith? What are we going to do with more faith? Now I can direct you back to the apostles, because there was a conversation that was going on between Jesus and his apostles here in Luke chapter 17. The idea here is that they were asking, they said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, why would the apostles want an increase in their faith? Well, I just dropped by to tell you this morning that there's probably a lot of reasons. There's probably a great variety of reasons. We know that when we read the Gospels 10 times, their faith is mentioned, as in, ye of little faith, or why did you doubt, or why don't you believe, those kinds of things. 10 different times Jesus says that to his close-knit inner circle. And so they had every reason to have a desire for more faith. But within the context of the scripture we're studying this morning, I can point out to you two things. Take a look at this. He says here in the Bible, he says to his disciples in verse 1 of the 17th chapter of the book of Luke, it is inevitable. It's inevitable that stumbling blocks will come. But woe to him through whom they come. What's he saying here? He's having a lesson with them. He's having a conversation with them. And he's saying, listen, people are going to deal with stumbling blocks all the time. There's always going to be something that's going to come along and trip them up, guide them away from the truth, guide them away from the gospel, guide them away from salvation. These things are going to happen. I know that. And I'm telling you that. But what I'm also telling you is, don't you be the source of being a stumbling block to someone else. That's incredibly important, because there are consequences. Jesus goes on to say it would be better for him if a millstone were cast about his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Some of us might say, well, what's a millstone? Well, you kind of have to go back to some old movie where you've had this big trough and you had this huge rock with a hole in it, and there was a stick that went through the hole, and they walked around crushing grain. And it was very big, very heavy, kind of a cement stone type thing. And he said, tie one of those around your neck and jump into the ocean. It's going to be better for you to do that than what the consequences are for you being a stumbling block to someone that's trying to come to me. Are we on the line this morning?
Yeah.
And so he says, be on your guard. Here comes thing number two. That was thing number one. Don't be a stumbling block. Thing number two is this. If your brother sins, rebuke him. What does that mean? It means you need to let him know that he has sinned against you. Don't be ugly, but let him know that's not acceptable. Now, if you're if he repents, then forgive him. See, that's where we struggle. That's not my sermon this morning. Verse 4. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and returns to you 7 times, repenting, your job is to forgive him. Did y'all get that?
Yeah.
I am resisting every urge I have in me not to go into the whole forgiveness thing. because we can do that. But what he's saying is that forgiveness is important, forgiveness is critical, and forgiveness should be continuous. Right? Don't be a stumbling block. And forgive those who sin against you and repent, no matter how many times. Is that what we see?
Amen.
And so it's from there that the apostles then say, Lord, increase my faith. Clearly, the apostles did not want to be involved in being a stumbling block, and they understood how difficult forgiveness can be. So they asked for an increase. And so again, a variety of reasons why you might want an increase in your faith, but contextually to the scripture that we're studying this morning, there were at least two reasons that the apostles desired an increase in faith. It's clear that they heard Jesus and they recognized the importance. And by asking him, it was clear that they wanted to perform and perform well. Jesus, I don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. I want to be a conduit to you. I want to be a superhighway to you. I want people to utilize me to get to you all day long. And I don't want there to be any potholes. I don't want there to be any rocks. I don't want there to be anything that I do that's going to cause anyone to be interrupted in their journey to you. And in order for me to do that, because I know me and I know how I am, I'm asking you, Lord, for an increase in my faith. I know me, Lord, and when people offend me, when people upset me, when people hurt me, I get angry. I get upset. And I'm the type of guy, Father, that holds a grudge. And I don't talk to them, and I don't want to be around them, and I don't wish them any good or their families any good. But I hear you, God, telling me that's not right. And so I need an increase in my faith so that I can give. And not just once, but as often as is necessary. And not just superficially and in words, but from the heart. That's why I need an increase in my faith, the apostles were saying. I don't know about you, church. But I know that you have shortcomings. I know that I have shortcomings. And we know that our shortcomings, some of them are not consistent with our faith, with our Christianity, with our claim of being sons and daughters of God. And we know that we have things that we have to work on. We know that we have things that we've got to work out. But we can't always do it on our own. We can't always do it by ourselves. And so we have to ask Jesus for an increase in our faith. I just need a little bit more. I just appreciated what Kevin said this morning. While he laid down on the couch thinking about how bad he was feeling and how much easier it would be to lay there and to sleep and perhaps have an eye toward the TV. No, no, no. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to worship and I'm going to be around this family and I'm going to give praise to God and I know that things will be better and he's already given testimony that it is. So we have to be willing to recognize what our shortcomings are, to recognize when we're tired in our walk and be willing to ask for an increase in faith. This is why an increase in faith is so important to us, family. We have to understand those things. We need to make sure that we're on top of our game and that we're doing all that we can to be the Christians that we desire to be the children that God requires us to be. Because we need to understand this. There is no person walking around judging us and grading us on our level of faith and what we do or we don't do. It's like, I remember when I was early in college, they had these independent study classes. And I said, wow, that seems great because I don't have a teacher standing over me telling me what to do and when to get this done. Here's all the things you need to do. And by the time the course is over, we need all these things done. Failed, failed, failed. Because I needed structure. I needed somebody to hold me accountable. I needed someone to tell me what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and how I'm doing it, when I'm doing it. And so I didn't do well with that at all. And so a lot of us don't, but you know, we have to be able to independently study. We have to be willing and able to independently examine our progress. And so when it comes to our faith, it's important because we don't have judges and because we don't have anybody walking around telling us what we should and shouldn't do, that when we notice that we're not doing what we should do, that we go to the Lord and ask for an increase in faith. Because we know when we're not doing what we should do.
Amen. Amen.
I appreciate that. I mean, sometimes it's not the amen, but sometimes I'll just give you a minute for that to sink in. As Christians, we know when we are doing what we're supposed to do because we feel good about it. But we also know when we're not doing what we're supposed to do because we don't feel good about it. And if you find yourself in your faith, in your walk, not feeling good about your walk, it's time to do something about it. And what it is that you need to do is to ask for an increase in faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen again. So let's talk about this extra faith and the effects of it. I like what Jesus says here in Luke chapter 17, verse 6. And I'm going to break this up. Because he says, if you had faith, then he says, you would. Are y'all with that? If you had faith, you would. If you had faith, you would. Now, that tells me something about faith or what having faith means. I'm going to get to that. What is to be done with or because of faith in your life? These are just things that I want you to think about. What is to be done with or because of faith, increase or otherwise? When you think about it, are you thinking about internal things? Like, help me be a better believer. Help me to be kinder and gentler. Help me to be less argumentative. Help me to be more forgiving. Help me to be a better person. Help me to study my word more often. Help me to get to worship more often. Are those the kind of things that you would do with an increase in faith? Or are we talking about external things?
All the above.
Help me talk to my neighbor. Help me talk to my coworker. Help me give more financially or in talent or time to the work of the Lord at the church. Help me go and visit with people who are on the sick list. Help me pray for people when they call me up. Those external things, internal or external, all the above. Right? Each of us has to understand those things and decide those things for ourselves. But here's what I'm trying to drive at. The bottom line is faith does. The bottom line is faith does. Faith does. Right? It's action oriented. It's not a concept. It's not a philosophy. It's orders. It's direction. It's a verb. See, that's what faith is supposed to accomplish. It's action oriented. Oh, come with me, if you will, to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 is an excellent exposition about how faith is supposed to work. Beginning in verse 18, the Bible says, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. He says, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Do we get that? Because most of us have the problem. I don't want to say most of us, that's not fair. But many people have the problem where they claim faith, but this faith has not been manifested. This faith has not been seen. The effects of it have not been felt by anyone, yet we claim to have it. James says, listen, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you mine with my works. He says, you believe that God, watch this, you believe that God is one. That's great. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. What is he saying? It's not enough to just believe that God exists. It's not enough to just believe in God. Why? Because the demons believe that much. Are you telling me, church, that you don't have anything more going on in your spiritual life than demon level maturity? Is that what you're telling me, church? If you say, I believe, and that's enough, demons believe. And it's not enough for them. Or it's not enough for you either. We need to understand that. He goes on to say, but are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not our father Abraham justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. What am I saying? It's not enough to simply say you have faith or represent yourself as a person of faith. Faith does. If you're a person of faith, you have to do according to faith. Your faith ought to drive you to something, to some things, whether they're internal or external. Both, there ought to be evidence, not for me, not for your brothers and sisters in Christ specifically, because you know and God knows. There ought to be an effect of your faith. Because I need to tell you this. Look around. Look around. Whether you're looking at the building or whether you're looking at the people, let me tell you what this is not. This is not a waiting room. This is not a waiting room. We didn't come here to sit and to wait on Jesus to arrive in the clouds, the trumpets sound, and we just ascend. It doesn't work that way. Nowhere did he say, welcome. Now that you've obeyed the gospel, now that you've gone down into the water and grave of baptism, have a seat, pick up a magazine, I'll be right with you. This is not a waiting room, family. We need to understand how important that concept is. Don't think of this as a waiting room. Think of this as a gym. Lord have mercy. I don't know how many of you actually go to the gym, and I'm not necessarily advocating that. I'm making a point here, is that, you know, they don't have a lot of chairs in the gym. They've got a lot of weights, and they've got a lot of treadmills and elliptical machines and all kinds of things that are designed to move you, to get you to do things, to train you so that you can become stronger, so that when you go outside of the gym, you are more capable. Oh, I wish I had somebody in here this morning. Listen, think of this as a gym. Think of this as a place where we prepare for what's going on out there, right? Because if we're looking at this as a waiting room, we're never going to leave, and we're going to get unhealthy, and we're going to get floppy, and we're going to lose all of our edge, when in fact we need to be preparing. It's so important to us, family, that we do these kinds of things. Because you know what, Christianity? It is not a have-a-seat religion. It's not a have-a-seat religion. It's a get out there and get going and do something faith. That's what this is. Yes. So what are we going to do with our faith? I want you to know that the effects of our faith is zero if we don't act. But if we are to go according to our faith, we're going to be doers. We're going to be planters. We're going to be harvesters. We're going to be toilers. We're going to be sharers. We're going to be givers. We're going to be forgivers. We're going to be light shiners. We're going to be encouragers. We're going to be soul winners. That's what we need to be striving for with our increased faith. Because I'll tell you what, family. We can't do big things without it. I don't know what your appetite is for doing big things, but I hope it's big. I hope that you have a strong desire to please God. I hope that you, having been out there in the oceans of despair, having been in the darkness, having been in unrighteousness, are just so grateful to God that you are no longer in despair. You are no longer in darkness. You're no longer in that dying sea. But now you're a child of light, that you desire to do all that you can to make sure that other people have an opportunity to do so as well. Look at Matthew chapter 17. In verse 19, the disciples came to Jesus privately and asked, in the scripture that was read for your hearing, why is it that we could not cast out the demon? This man came to us. We were feeling full of ourselves. We had experienced some triumphs based on our time with you. And this man came to us with this demon-possessed boy, and we couldn't do a thing. Why is that? And Jesus had a pointed answer. He said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. Because in the littleness of your faith, you can't do big things with little faith.
Amen.
But if you have big faith, you know what? He said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. I don't know how many of you have ever seen a mustard seed. It's very small. It's kind of like a BB if you've ever seen one of those. But what happens is that when you plant that in the ground, and mustard is kind of an herb, it grows into something that far exceeds the size of other herbs. It grows into almost a tree, and it's said that birds can nest in this herb because that small seed turned into something that large. He says, if you've got faith just that size, you'll be able to do big things. What big things? He says, you will be able to say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And Jesus said, nothing will be impossible to you. If that doesn't want you, it doesn't make you want more faith, I don't know what will. If we want to do big things, church, we need bigger faith. Question is, do you want to do big things for the Lord?
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay, well, six of y'all are in good shape. let's do this. Let's move on to our extremes and then the lesson will be yours. Again, in Luke chapter 17, verse 6, Jesus says, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Again, these are fantastic things, are they not? And they're metaphors, but I just believe if Jesus said that we could move a mountain with proper faith, we could. And we don't know, look at what he's talking about. He's talking about mustard seeds, which tells me that that's relatively small. So whatever faith we actually have, if we don't have this kind of faith, is infinitesimally smaller. So if we can ask for an increase just to get the mustard seed size faith, look at what we can do. And he talks about this mulberry tree. You know, the tradition in Israel is that these mulberry trees have roots that go down and spread out and go so deep that they're there for 600 years. And he's saying you can have these deeply rooted, spread out roots, 600-year-old roots that you can uproot. Trust me, you can't just pull stuff up. You guys who have tried to get rid of trees know that the stump is a whole other thing. Well, here, these are massive. And he says you'd be able to just with faith tell it to move, and it would move and be planted in the ocean. And we know what a mountain is, and we can tell it to go from one place to the other, and it would go. Those are fantastic manifestations of faith. In our lives, we need to consider them relatively. Because what he's saying is that with increased faith, you can accomplish things that are extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult not to be a stumbling block to other people who are trying to come to the Lord because of who we are and some of the things that we do and some of the habits that we have. And it's extremely difficult to forgive somebody who continues to offend you and upset you and hurt you over and over and over again. Those things are difficult. He's saying with just a little more faith, you can do monumentally more things. Well, what kinds of things? Well, first of all, faith can overcome experience. Well, what do you mean by that? You have a perspective. You have a point of view based on the life that you live and the experiences that you've had. And based on what has happened, when you did what you did and you come up against a situation that looks similar to something you've been through before, you expect that the outcome is going to be X. And so you don't tap into your faith to say, I'd like a different outcome this time. Because whenever the doctor calls and says, there's a problem here, you think about the cancer or some other malady. When the boss calls you in, and he's got that look on his or her face, you remember the time that you lost a job before, and you go directly there. We're not employing our faith. Faith overcomes experience. Paul had a pedigree. Born in the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day, a Pharisee, counted all those things as dung, the Bible says. Don't care about any of that. And then Paul also had problems. Remember, he was shipwrecked, and he was in peril of the brethren, and in peril of the sea, was bitten by a snake. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. Those experiences didn't matter. He said, because it's not I that live, but it is Christ that lives in me. His faith said, I'm always going to go toward Christ. No matter how high the prosperity is or how low the depths of despair are, I'm always going to come back to Christ. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. My experiences are irrelevant. My faith is all that matters. Faith helps you to overcome reason, because we just think certain things. We have a logical mind. Things just add up and go together. And we don't bring our faith into it. What do you mean by that, Lee?
You know what I couldn't figure out? And I'm saying this sort of metaphorically. When I came to this church, I met a couple of people. And when I found out what they were doing, the other me would have said, wow, why would you do that? Nathan and Murray, who you know better than me. Young people, beautiful people, folks with all kinds of potential to do anything that they want to do in life. They can have a career in corporate America. They can start their own business. They could start a nonprofit. Whatever it is that they purpose to do, they had the talent and the skill and the drive to be able to accomplish it. Right? But what did they decide to do? They decided to become missionaries. They decided to sell everything they owned. They decided to pack up their belongings in this little car that they didn't necessarily trust, but prayed that God would deliver them to Seattle in. And they started a mission work with a team out there. So here we are right here in America. A beautiful young couple decides not to pursue wealth, fame, fortune, but God. That's not logical. That's not reasonable. But that's what they're doing. Faith overcomes reason. That's huge, family. That's huge. Because it's one thing for us to be in this building talking about the Lord and how much we love him. It's a whole other thing to move your life completely in that direction to serve the Lord that you say that you believe in. And I'm not trying to shame anybody, because we all have our own ways of serving and not everybody can be everything. The Bible tells us that. But how impressive is it for a young couple to do that? Most people would say it defies logic, it defies reason, but yet that's exactly what they're doing, because their increased faith guides them that direction. And lastly, faith helps us overcome probability. We believe that there are certain things that are probable and certain things that are not. I'm a person that travels a lot, and there are some things that I still don't understand because I haven't studied it and I don't really care to. But how can you have metal? How can you have steel? And put tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of it together, and it floats on the ocean? That doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, how does that work? Don't tell me about displacement. I don't want to hear it. It just... And then you take some of that same metal, and you put tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of it together. How can something that heavy fly? And flying isn't even the important thing, Kevin. I don't care about your flying, I care about your landing. That's what's important, right? And so those kinds of things would just seem absolutely improbable, but they exist. And so what is it that we think is improbable in the Lord? What is it that we think that we cannot accomplish in the Lord? When we think about the things that we learned in this building, in this gym,
and we decide that we want to go out and put it to work, and we look and say, I could talk to that person and just say hello and maybe invite them to church or tell them something about the Lord, but it's improbable that they would even receive me. They probably won't say anything, or they'll walk away, or they'll be rude, or they'll slam the door in my face or whatever, and so you know what? I'm just not going to do it. Faith overcomes probability. Don't just assume that your faith is going to fail. You have to try it in order to determine that it does work. And again, I've tried to share this with you. The idea of success is not whether someone becomes converted, but that you share. See, this is what God has asked us to do. He says, plant, and I'll add the increase. If the increase doesn't come, that's not on you. So don't be afraid to put a seed in the soil. Don't worry about the probability of it growing roots and coming up and bearing fruit. You just plant the seed. That's what your faith ought to lead you to do. So family, when we talk about increasing our faith, we need to work together in order that we go from point A to point B, and from B to C, and C to D, and so on and so forth. Ever growing, ever evolving, ever increasing in our commitment to the Lord, our commitment to study and learning about Him, our commitment to performing according to His word that He has given us. And in so doing, we'll begin to see Him more clearly and more clearly. We'll be able to see Him moving in our lives. We'll be able to see Him acting in our lives. We'll begin to recognize Him, because right now most of us have kind of a blank white screen, but what will happen is the more that we interact with Him and the more that we try to build our faith, He'll begin to come into view, and we'll begin to recognize Him better and better until He's standing there full 4K 3D, God standing right in front of us, and we know Him and recognizes Him, and He knows us and recognizes us, and we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us.
Amen.
That's the goal. That's what we have to be about this year. It's going to take every one of us. I realize that we're all in different places in our walk. We're all in different places in our spiritual maturity. We're all in different places in our level of faith. But what we can all do is use an increase. And when we get that increase, let's do. Because Jesus said, if you had faith, you would. Is that all right? Amen.
Amen.
If you need Christ this morning, you've heard His word. Be willing to believe those things that have been said from His word. And understand that we all got sin in our lives. We need to repent of that sin. Be willing to confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Be willing to be baptized for the remission of your sin. And you will become a son or daughter of God, a brother or sister of Christ, and a temple for the Holy Spirit. And from that day and every day beyond, seek to increase our faith, that we may please God and do big things in His name. Amen?
Amen.
Together we stand.